We all know our tech is designed to addict us. The question is, should there be a law against it? From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, Demystifying the Digital Economy. I'm Molly Wood. This week, Senator Josh Hawley, Republican of Missouri, introduced a bill that would ban features that are supposed to keep us using tech for longer, like endless scrolling or auto-playing videos, and things like the snap streak in Snapchat that rewards you publicly for interacting with a friend on the app for a bunch of days in a row. Subtle, right? Let's dig into this topic more in Quality Assurance, the segment where we take a deeper look at a big tech story. Adam Alter is a professor of marketing at NYU. He wrote a book called Irresistible, The Rise of Addictive Technology and the Business of Keeping Us Hooked. And he said, yes, the apps want us to keep coming back. But before we ban the features, we need to know the harm.
To me, the best regulation right now is regulation that says we should devote money, time, attention, resources to understanding the problem better. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of strong suggestive evidence to push us towards being concerned. I think the strongest evidence is that teenage girls, much more so than boys and much more so than people of other ages, experience more bullying and more negative psychological consequences the more time they spend on screens. That's the one result that seems to me fairly robust. In general, beyond that, it's really hard to know exactly what the effects are.
There are still, of course, plenty of people on Twitter, ironically, and elsewhere, who are saying the solution to this is easy. Just put down your phone and go outside, or be a better parent and take the screen away from your child. Is that reasonable?
I don't think it's wrong to say that we all have some role to play as individual consumers, but there is really an army of people who are doing everything they can with considerable resources, with access to huge amounts of data, to ensure that we spend every spare minute on our phones. It's not really a fair fight. And so I think it's right to say that we all bear personal responsibility to some extent, but that doesn't absolve the tech companies themselves of the need to change some of their practices, which are really just designed to mine every minute of our attention rather than to introduce some form of well-being into our lives, or at least to preserve our well-being.
Now, we have seen some of that well-being conversation begin in these companies. There are some elements, for example, Senator Josh Hawley introduces this legislation, and some of the remedies that it suggests are already happening. That, you know, Instagram now has "you're all caught up" as a stopping point. There's screen time tracking in Android and iOS. Are companies starting to get the message that people don't want their devices to hog their attention or their children's attention all the time?
You know, I think companies are starting to make changes. I think they're doing the very bare minimum they need to do to be able to convince people that they care about our well-being. I'm not totally convinced that they actually do. Mm-hmm. And that's just because they're part of a model that tries to make as much money as possible, and that requires capturing our attention. And so I think what they're doing is making these really small changes. You mentioned the Instagram, "you're all caught up" message. To me, that actually functions more as a goalpost than anything. Most people follow enough other people on Instagram that it ends up becoming a source of compulsion where you feel like you have to, every time you check Instagram, get to that goalpost.
So I have a 12-year-old. You have a son who's 3, a daughter who's 2. What are we supposed to do in the meantime? While this, you know, the conversation and the research is ongoing and the regulations being debated, we're still sort of stuck at fighting these battles all the time.
Yeah, I mean, it's really difficult. I think obviously 12-year-olds are very different from 2 and 3-year-olds. I have much more control over what my kids experience than you might as the parent of an older child. That's one of the issues. I think we don't need to be puritanical about it. I don't think we need to prevent them from being anywhere near screens. And actually, that's impossible anyway, because the whole world revolves around screens now. Their friends will be in front of screens even if you try to prevent them from themselves being in front of them. I think it's really important to consider the content that they're being exposed to really carefully. If you can't, you know, completely limit the number of hours or minutes they spend, at least make sure that what they're being exposed to is, in a sense, nutritional. A lot of people do use that sort of metaphor, the idea that just as you need a balanced diet, you need a balanced diet of time. And the way we spend our time is really important. So the quality of programming, if they're going to watch TV, is important. There's even a difference between TVs and using iPads and iPhones and watching YouTube versus watching, you know, a half an hour long show. You have much more control over the content on a half an hour long show than you do over, you know, 10 videos in a row that are 3 minutes each or something like that. And the last thing I'd say is, you know, we used to see adults policing how their children behave, and I think that's pretty important in this domain. But what's really interesting now is a lot of even very young children watch their parents and feel they've sort of lost contact with their own parents. And they say things like, when you interview them, they'll say things like, I feel like I can't connect with my parents because they're always on their phones. So I think a lot of this begins in the way parents use their phones in front of their own kids. I think that's in some senses more important or as important as what they police in their own kids' behavior.
Adam Alter is a professor of marketing at NYU. And now for some related links. Senator Hawley's bill got a chilly response from some tech journalists who said Hawley is trying to micromanage technology, and some fellow Republicans who oppose aggressive regulation. But it's worth noting that the idea of addictive design is a big part of the time well spent movement that was a big deal back in 2017. It was spearheaded by former Google design ethicist Tristan Harris, and the entire idea was that the heart of the attention economy is endless scrolling and autoplay and constant notifications. And the time well spent movement got the credit, actually, for new features from Google and Apple and even Facebook designed to help monitor time on their apps and products. And it basically got everyone to acknowledge that addictive design is a real thing. But by last year, Harris acknowledged that these digital well-being fixes weren't really fixes, since the business model, as you heard Adam Alter say, still relies on you being on the device or online. Last December, in fact, MarketingLand did a survey of social media marketers, and most of them said they weren't taking into account the idea of time well spent in crafting their messages. Translation, they're not too worried that you've got the self-control to put the phone down. Now, for the other side of the debate, I also included a link to an episode of the TED Radio Hour from earlier this month. It's an interview with this behavioral designer, Nir Eyal, who basically says that all design is manipulating you and grabbing your attention. And his whole job is to advise tech companies on engaging design. But Eyal says we still can choose to unplug. Ultimately, we're in charge of our own behavior. And right now, we're just figuring out if tech is more like tobacco, which addicted us and had a measurable harm, or if it's like being obsessed with football, which is somehow considered a better habit than Candy Crush. Go listen, decide for yourself, and email us your thoughts, mptech@marketplace.org. Stephanie Hughes produces Marketplace Tech. Eve Tro is our senior producer. We had production help from Matt Purdy this week. Sarah Bouguer is our engineer. And I'm Molly Wood. Have a great weekend, everybody. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.